It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I am Johnny B. Ray.
And I'm Johnny Smass. Welcome to podcast 159. Coming to you like Eric Cantona, kung fu kicking some Crystal Palace fan. On this week's podcast, we chat to Huey Mahon about wearing too much tan, traveller call-out videos, and his recent bum lift surgery. Yes, I said bum lift.
He doesn't believe in warm-ups because have you ever seen a lion stretch before he tackles a zebra? No. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Working from home means she gets to live in tracksuit bottoms. She may never leave the house again. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as making your Irish essay sound class by sticking in
Gutubbin
every now and then, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on funeral crashers, it's a real thing, says Kieran. Where I live, there are at least two women that will definitely go to the parish hall for the grub after a funeral. One woman even brings her child. Herself and the child arrived back to the hall after my grandmother's funeral a few years back. Nobody really took much notice. The child walked up to my aunt and said, "Are you the dead woman's daughter?" "I am," she said. "I never knew her myself, but Mammy said she was a nice woman. Lovely spread on here." And then walked away, not a bother on her. She must be really missing the old funerals with the lockdown.
Jesus Christ. I've never been to a funeral where they've done sandwiches in the parish.
Normally in the hotel around here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew a man who used to love sandwiches so much. And I remember once going to the Tipperary Supporters Club launch up in the Horse and Jockey. You know, like the manager or someone would come in and make a speech. You know? And I remember him saying on the way up, "I'm going to eat some sandwiches at this." I'd say he skipped the dinner and all.
I'd eat for 2 days before.
Right, Ricky.
Ricky says, "Down our way is a fella that goes to all local funerals so that he can go to the afters. He's known by all the local undertakers and clergy." Clergy, what a name. "I remember at my dad's funeral, he showed up at the church and the priest pulled me aside and said to me, 'Your man Penny Dinners is here.' He is known by all the local pubs and restaurants as well. They usually tell him to wait until all the mourners are fed and then he can have food if it's left. He gets upset when he turns up to a funeral to discover there's no food. This man doesn't drive, so he hitches a lift to all the funerals." Wow, he's a career funeral.
Definitely in Cork. On ghosts.
Oh yes.
Stuart wasn't touched.
Spooky time.
"We live a good bit out of town. Oh, and taxis taxis would be hard to get. Oh, on Saturday nights, to ferry us home after the disco. There'd be five or six of us, including the neighbours. We'd walk home together. We'd walk the 3 miles, and then when we'd reach the first entrance, we'd all throw ourselves down at the butt of the wall for an old fag in a chat. This one night anyway, we were talking ghost stories walking home and everyone was a little jumpy by the time we got to our place. Our entrance has two big stone walls, a long driveway up a hill and two fields either side. Anyway, six of us trundled down there at the butt of the wall, smoking fags, talking ghost stories. Next thing, one of the lads jumped up screaming and took off down the road like a bullet. We all looked at each other. None of us knew what happened to him. We kept on smoking and talking shite, as you do. Next thing, one of the girls made an absolute dart for it, screaming, and she fell into a ditch across the road. We all got up to help her, and we were all turned around, and there was this dark figure, long face, horns, looking at us. We took off down the neighbour's boreen and into their house. Next, my mobile rang, and it was the other neighbour that sprinted off first. He was freaked out on the phone. He said, looking up, he saw the devil looking down on him, and he took off."
It's probably from all the smoking.
Smoke.
He's mentioned smoking around 40. Okay, we get it, you're fucking hard, all right? and you're cool, okay.
Now, that was all grand, but the fact was that me and the brothers still had to go home
and smoke.
And get past the devil. So we said, fuck it. Had another smoke. We headed back up the boreen. When we got to the top, no sign of the figure. We walked through the gates and looked back behind us to the wall where the figure had been. Not the devil, but a donkey. The fatter had lain to the field that evening.
The donkey was smoking too.
Everyone. The donkey was just smoking. Well, bye. And he grass. Everyone who saw the silhouette at the donkey's head thought it was the devil because they were listening to ghost stories. Wow. Do you know what? That just makes me miss the pub. Lads walking home, schmorking, sitting down there at 3 o'clock in the morning telling old yarns.
And schmork.
That never happened to me because none of us ever remember the walk home.
No, wake up in bed being like, Jesus.
I think I was smoking with a donkey last night.
Okay, on winning the lotto, Big John email, he said,
"Aye, Big John, bye.
On the dream of winning the lotto, as deluded as smacks may be, I can be worse at times and have genuinely put a lot of thought into what I would do with the money if I won the lotto. I really believe a large amount of money like that could do a lot of damage to a person if not handled right, and I think what it would come down to is happiness. There's no point in one person being the happiest man in Ireland sitting on a pile of cash with no debts while his parents and siblings and friends are all slogging it out to pay off their mortgage or get by week to week."
Do you know what John should do? If he wins it, he should give it to us.
Yeah, and we'll fucking be happy. We'll spend it firm.
We'll manage it.
He can sit at home paying his mortgage. Yeah. Safe in the knowledge that we're having some crack. So John says his answer to all this is to share it out, share out his winnings. So John says, if I won, say, 50 million in the Euro Millions, I'd split it down the middle.
Right.
25 million for me and 25 divided evenly amongst my parents, brothers, sisters and maybe the in-laws, etc. You know, your nearest and dearest. Now, they might end up with 2 or 3 million each while you will have 25 million to yourself. But now you're all on the same level to somewhat. No one has to work. You can all afford to go off on big holidays together, living the same standard as each other, rather than just me having 50 million and my parents can get a week off work to come to the Bahamas with me. Everyone would get to live the dream by sharing it out. I would take one of those shares from my family's half and give it to one charity. Not loads of small donations, one massive donation to one charity and really make a difference for them. Also, if I was to become public before doing so to figure out who your friends really were, I would text the lads individually on a random weeknight and ask, will they go for a pint with me that I need to talk? Now, this is genius, John. The fellas that turn up are your real friends and they get 10k each and can go home and get their passports because we're all going to Vegas. The really important thing I would think... He has really thought about this.
Yeah, a lot of time.
The really important thing I would think to keep in mind is that there is no fun in being super happy and everyone else being miserable and jealous. Share it out, spread the fun. If everyone you care about is happy and debt-free and living good, then that would be the real winner.
Some people spend a lot of time thinking what they would do if they won the lotto.
Yeah.
It can't be healthy, that.
That one about texting the friends is good.
That's genius.
That is genius. But like, he's forgot now that he's went public on winning the lotto. And like everyone in town is just going to be following him around, begging him for money all the time.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Dave, real name Rodney. So I was listening to
Only Fools and Horses banter.
Said I was listening to your podcast about what you do if you won the lotto. I usually don't play the lotto, but after listening to the podcast and hearing my family go on about it in the WhatsApp group, I thought, why not? Especially with the jackpot being 200 million. So I bought a ticket on Friday evening. Later that night, I received an email from the National Lottery that said I had won a prize. I was thinking it's probably €4 or a scratch card. I logged onto the website, checked me numbers. I had won €2,000.
Share the love, lad.
Couldn't believe it. I was thrilled. So thank you guys for the podcast. Who knew you gave me good fortune? P.S. I understand if I don't deserve the mug. Dave, Rodney, whatever your name is, you certainly do not.
At the time of recording this, there's been a winning ticket in Clonmel. I really feel like we're doing ads for the lottery here. we should be getting a cut, but 100,000 was won in Clonmel.
No way.
They appealed on like Tip FM for the winner to check their tickets. I have a couple of tickets at home. I haven't checked yet.
Right.
Could be me.
Okay.
So if this podcast ends abruptly, for any reason...
Would you not just check them before you come in?
No, so to keep the suspense.
Oh, great.
Do you know what? I'm going to have a few tins on Saturday night. So I'll check them on Sunday. And it could be the boost I need.
Hangover
to drag me out of hangover, yeah. Or else it could be just more misery more compiled to Sundays.
Fair play to you, Dave, bye.
Okay, on sex education, edumacation, Christy got in touch.
Happy.
He said, could be Christy Moore. I recently listened to the episode where the lads went back to the hostel with two queer blades.
Yeah, blades, young ones.
Okay, where in the world is that?
It's kind of an Ulster thing, I think.
Okay. It took me back to my time backpacking around Oz with a few mates in 07. We left Perth with a few grand in our pockets, thinking we'd tour the West Coast and make it to Brisbane to meet the cousin in a week or two, not realising how feckin' massive the country was. Before long, we'd to pull in and get some work building villas on Eco Beach in Broome. The contractor was delighted at four chippies landing on his doorstep. We'd a little time there, even meeting AFL legend Ben Cousins. After a month there, we'd money in our pockets, an itch for the drink, and a horn for the women. So we said our goodbyes and made our way to Darwin for a week session on the sauce. Between sneaking a birthday present call girl into the hostel for one of the lads, another getting caught wanking in the toilets, and a fire breaking out, it was a mad few days. Oh, that's a session, isn't it? Oh my God. On the second last night, myself and one of the lads nicknamed the Wilderbeast, a shagger of epic proportions, but a man who never wrapped his tool, which I always give out to him for, met two lovely ladies. Mine was Aussie, his was English. I never got lucky, but arranged to meet again the next night, which would be the last before we made our way to Brisbane. When I told the Wilderbeast, he totally cracked the shits with me, saying no way are we meeting those girls again, and that his was the filthiest woman he'd ever came across, and he was emotionally scarred from his encounter with her. To this day, he's never spoken of what she did to him. It must have been shocking. So he came up with a plan to tell her when she arrived. He said he'd made a mistake and that he'd a girlfriend and couldn't be with her for a second night of passion.
Yes.
Didn't this make her want him more? Right? She was one Randy Blade. And before long, he was getting off getting defiled by her once more.
Randy Blade sounds like a wrestler.
Yeah. Randy, big bad Randy Blade. He was a slave to the ladies. So as he was a lad who never wrapped a tool and she was a dirty bit of stuff, I had a plan. I gave the girl I was with the Wilderbeast number and told her we'd be in Brisbane in a week and to text him saying we'll call her Lisa, and that he'd need to get himself tested as she got a bad STD. I know, I'm a bad bastard, right? So a couple of weeks had passed and we'd settled into our new hostel, and then didn't the Wilderbeast.
Go on.
And then didn't the Wilderbeast receive a text? I immediately noticed the colour drain from his face. I asked him what's wrong and he told me the dreaded news. Now I'd totally forgotten what I had set in motion and went to town on him, saying he got what he deserved and if it fell off he'd only have himself to blame. He was sick. He frantically went in search of a clinic to sort himself out, which was hard found as we had cheap backpacker phones with no internet. He'd walked the length of the city and found a place, but it was almost a week before he could get booked in. His head was melted. The lad couldn't eat or sleep and was constantly going to the bathroom to check his tackle was still there. Jesus. No joke, he aged about 10 years in a week. So after a few days, I got a message from my Aussie girl. She asked me how did my prank go with the Wilderbeast. Then the penny dropped and I burst out laughing. I'd totally forgotten. The poor lad for the last 3 days was worried his tool was going to fall off and was a shell of his former self. I had to put him out of his misery. His lesson would be learned. I decided to let him in on the joke. He'd suffered enough. After a stream of fucks that Father Jack would be proud of, and him near taking the head clean off my shoulders, he settled down. The colour on his face finally returned. I asked him would he now change his ways. He said he would as he got up to leave the room. I asked him where he was going, and he said to get fucking right. The stress of the last few days had nearly put me in an early grave. Some lads need to learn the hard way. That's a fucking prank. That's a story. That's the way to do it, Christy, boy.
God damn. That's better than any class in school, I'll tell you that.
Honest to God, you can show them pictures of Blue Waffle as long as you want, but until you're stared it in the face. Jeez.
Okay, continuing on.
Do you not remember that in school?
No.
Blue Waffle.
What's Blue Waffle?
There you go. I'll tell you what, just Google Blue Waffle.
Is this something they used to scare people into using protection?
It used to be like, oh hey, you should Google Blue Waffle, and then like you're in a computer class and everybody Googles it.
Right.
Teacher's like, wah.
There's lads crashing tractors.
Yeah, 100%. There's lads just pulling in, going, I'm going to have to Google this now.
Awkward situations.
Sorry, lads and ladies.
Don't Google Blue Waffle if you're in the car with anyone.
Ooh.
Emma Jane emailed saying, I have a story for you. It's not exactly related to your podcast topics, but it has to be told. When I was in school, our vice principal was known as Goofy, seeing as he always managed to say or do the wrong thing around us teenage girls. Prime example, one day he landed into our Leaving Cert maths class. He announced somebody had taken a 50 euro note from one of our classmates' bags. Apparently the girl knew around what time it had been taken. He'd checked the cameras and he knew who had been in the room at the time and he knew who the culprit was. He was going to give the guilty party a chance to come forward privately, return the money, and nothing more would be said. He was met with muttering and a few eye rolls. Then he uttered the words that none of us will forget. Girls, this is a serious situation, and I really advise you come to my office. I don't want to finger any girl in public. There was complete silence until our maths teacher started sniggering and coughing to cover it up. Of course, this set us all off. He told us off saying he was disappointed in us and it was no laughing matter. But I can tell you, no girls were fingered publicly or privately. As far as I know, the money was never returned. Goddamn Goofy, you gotta do better.
Man, Google have just fucked me.
What? You Googled Blue Waffle?
Google Blue Waffle, right? And like obviously just an actual blue waffle, like as in like a Belgian waffle, like a breakfast waffle came up and it was blue. Yeah. And then I was like, blue waffle vagina. And it still didn't come up. And then blue waffle STD. And like, it still hasn't come up. I'm still just getting pictures of blue waffles. I reckon Google like have been obviously like, they've eradicated this from like years of classroom pranks. So come on, Google. There's one, all right. Okay.
No mug for you, Smacks.
Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who carry all the lovely Two Johnnies merch? There's Mara. Zip ups, bats, mugs, the whole lot's all on there. TwoJohnnies.ie.
Mara, who's getting the mug? Who do you like for the mug?
Ah, it has to be Christy and the prank he played in his mate. Wrap it up, lads. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. You got to wrap the tool. Christy and the Wildebeest.
Yes.
I wonder, will he give the mug to the Wildebeest?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I highly doubt. But Christy, get in touch. You can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details and Maureen will get that sorted and we get the mug out to you ASAP. Now, the weekly roundup. It's been going on Two Johnnies land. People will have seen, yes, by the time this podcast goes out, you will have seen the Two Johnnies, or we hope you will have seen Two Johnnies appear on Tommy Tiernan, the Tommy Tiernan Show, Saturday nights.
Yeah, RT Night Show. Saturday night television show. We haven't seen it yet, so we don't know how it went, because our chat with Tommy is about an hour long, and then they edit it down to about 15 minutes?
17 minutes. Yeah.
So I have no idea what made it in and what didn't.
But we thought it went well.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, they could have painted us as two absolute bastards.
Yeah.
So
we could be cancelled by now. It's so funny. I asked people in the know and they were like, Tommy does the interview and that's it. He's not involved in the edit process. Doesn't want to know. And he never watches the show back.
Yeah, we're snookered. So.
So even he doesn't know how it went.
Oh, wow.
Nobody knows.
In case you don't get it, we're recording the podcast on Friday this week.
And the show, yeah.
The show goes out on Saturday and obviously you'll all be hearing it on Monday. So hopefully it went well.
Hopefully it went well,
And if you missed it, it's on the player. It's on the RT player. And internationally, you can get it on the app.
Yes. Yeah. It was so weird to leave the county.
Oh, man.
Drive to Dublin.
And also, the big thing was we pulled into Junction 3. Normally, it's right up there in terms of our garages. You know, we love our
Manor Stone there in Laois.
Yeah. We you know,
best thing about Laois.
We normally rate it high. Walked in, Delhi closed, 3 o'clock in the day. Listen, I know there's a pandemic on, but
lads
need rolls.
I eyeballed the two women working behind the counter.
Well,
and then I turned on my heels and left.
Yeah, but you made a proper scene when we walked in. It was like we sanitized and like got me nice jacket out of boot and all. I was strutting in. We're done up a bit, like, because we're going on a TV show. And then Johnny's like, "Fuck shit, no Delhi." No, come on. And I was like, every member of staff.
And
even the staff of Supermax in Manor Stone heard us as well. So
I want them to know.
We huffed and puffed and then went to Junction 14.
It's too early in the day to be closing.
Yeah.
I know things are pretty quiet.
It wasn't much of an offer now in in J14 either.
And they pulled it out of the bag.
They didn't. What was this you asked your one for?
I said, can I get a roll? And then they only had a small selection. So I was like, you have a carvery over there. Get me an old cut of turkey out of the carvery. And she was like, that'll be extra. I said, fuck it, go on, we're on the telly. We're on the telly, girl. Yeah. You need a carvery in a sandwich.
I also met a lad in Junction 14 who was like, I love the podcast and stuff. And he was, I'd say he was a bit nervous or whatever. And I didn't know whether that, like, ask him if you wanted to get a photo, that would be a normal thing. Be like, yeah. Do you want to just get a snapshot? And I obviously had a mask on. And then I was like, look, we're going to record the Tommy Tiernan show. And I said, Johnny, look, I give him a bit of inside scoop there. Hopefully he's happy enough with that now. So yeah, we were obviously sworn secrecy that we were on the show. But
so Tommy, nice old devil.
Yeah, it was good crack recording it.
I wanted, Maura, I worked so hard, I pressed smacks, could we not go on both wearing the little woolly hats like Tommy wears?
And I said it was good. I said that is totally disrespectful, Maura. Would you agree?
Yeah, you're kind of taking out the piss out of the fact that he has to wear a hat to disguise his bald spot. So
Hey, he's not the Edge. Also, people, I don't know if people realise, because like Fred Cook has such a small role on the show. Fred Cook is hilarious.
Yeah, he's very funny.
We're backstage with him. I have to stay like 4 metres away from him.
Yeah.
He's hilarious, like.
They put us in
Oh, we came in.
They put us in separate dressing rooms, Maury. You know, obviously RT COVID policy or whatever, like, you know, they were like, Oh no, you have to be in separate dressing rooms. And then like as soon as we met Tommy, he was like, why have they got you 2 metres away? Like me and Johnny are obviously 2 metres away. And he's like, I done an interview with you last week. You were fucking shifting each other.
So anyway, hope that went well.
Yeah, and it was enjoyable doing it. So it was. I was a little bit nervous because, you know, most interviews you have an idea what they're going to ask you. And Tommy was like, we were coming up in the car trying to interview each other, like asking each other mental questions. It may or may not have paid off.
Once we see it, we can let you in on the rest of the interview that didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
So, but also thank you so much to everybody who signed up to our extra podcast available on Patreon, and on last week's extra podcast
number 49 we discussed breakfast and we remembered Ireland's short-lived smoothie boom. That's the clip we're going to play because that's the clip Maura selected. The clip we wanted to play was during 30 seconds of truth, a part of the extra podcast. Maura rated her prowess in the bedroom out of 10
because you asked her. Now
I did ask her. Yeah So obviously we can't bring you that clip, so here's us talking about fucking smoothies.
Do you remember the phase, man? The smoothies.
Oh, the smoothie. Oh, there was a smoothie boom in Roscrea during, like, I would say 05 to 08.
What do you mean?
There was a centre beside me, like, and they just blew out one side of the shop and put in a full smoothie bar. And for ages, like, everyone was just having smoothies and thinking, you know, the Irish people were like, sure, it's fruit. It's fair healthy. Yeah. Throwing 800 calories in a smoothie, like. It was just full of the yogurt. Like, the whole thing was yogurt. And I remember, like, having it, like, saying to my mother, can I 4 euro, go and get a smoothie? Like, a big smoothie then. Like, be full as a dick after.
And what happened?
Sure, everyone was enjoying them for around a month, and then that was it. Like, the smoothie bar just became a storage unit.
They closed it again.
Yeah, they closed it again.
After a month.
Yeah. If you want to hear Maura's prowess in the bedroom, listen to the extra podcast. There you go.
You can pay or for that, fuckers.
You can pay for the privilege to hear.
Or move in next door to her.
Okay, our guest today has appeared on Big Brother and Dancing with the Stars. He's Ireland's most famous gay traveller and is renowned for his tan and is also moonlighting as a Johnny Smacks lookalike. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Huey Mahon to the Two Johnnies podcast.
He looks so professional. It feels like I'm in a meeting with, I don't know, the CEO of Trump Tower. I feel like I'm on an audition for The Apprentice. Is that professional?
You never know, Huey.
I don't think that's the show for me, The Apprentice, but whatever.
Hey, speaking of shows, Hugh, you were on First Dates recently, and it did trend on Twitter, people saying it was the worst date ever, but we have to ask you, what was it really like?
To be very honest, right, like the lad I was on the date with came out and said, because of all the bad comments about him, which I don't actually support. In the start, he was annoying me, so I didn't really care. But now it's like, oh, forget about it. It's last week's news. There's worse things going on in the world. But he turned around and said something like it was edited to make it look a certain way. In fact, if I really sit down and think about it, I think people would have been even more uncomfortable if they'd been sat watching it live, because you've seen about 10 minutes on the telly, because there's like 45 minutes airtime in an hour episode because of ads. And then there's like three couples is not on it.
Yeah.
So like each couple is only 10, 15 minutes each if you add up the time to get. But we was on that date for like 2 hours. Oh, so if you had to watch 2 hours, can you imagine how bad you would have thought of them? And it was like that whole time. And the whole entire time I was just sat looking at him. And I knew what was going on. I wasn't stupid. And I was like, I'm not going to walk off a date on TV. I'm not making myself look bad for him. And I was just asking every question underneath the sun. And I tried to have a drinking game. I'd start to have a banter with the waiter, the lads beside us. I did sort of do that to an IM. I told the lad he had a nice shirt on. But and all of that. But what is a man supposed to do? You're sat there. Imagine you was on a date with a girl or I don't know what you went to, girl or boy, whoever any person's on a date with. Anything at all, an Irish man, right? But if you're on a date, for example, and they're just sat there like a wooden plank in front of you, like they've been forced at knife point to come here, what the fuck are you meant to do?
I have to ask you, when you're wearing the tan and all, some people say to us that you look a bit like Johnny Smacks.
I know, but I don't know. I look so pale.
Well, I'm pale now myself as well.
Hughie, you're a fan of the tan and of keeping yourself glamorous. Like, is that important to you?
Yeah, but I don't look it now. I'm perfectly well aware. But I've got a pink, how gay am I? Pink basket that my ex-boyfriend got me. And it's full of, like, bottles of fake tan and stuff. And it's all my stuff for things like that. But I just couldn't be bothered lately. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. None of us... So what's the point? I'm actually exercising a lot at the minute. I'm going on runs and stuff every day. So I just feel like if I had tan on, I'd go all streaky anyways. Yeah. So,
what's your go-to tan, Hughie? I'm just asking for a friend.
My favourite tan of all, but it's actually the most expensive, is...
typical.
It's Saint-Tropez. It's called Ultra Dark. I've got a bottle of it over there. And it comes in a spray bottle. That's my favourite one of all because it just looks so, so good. But I only ever put that on my face because I can't be arse spraying my whole body, which would be like, that would be like 50 quid for because the whole bottle would be my body. Imagine a spray tan that costs 50 quid. So I can't do that. I just put it on my face. And
We're going to take you back for a sec. So the first time that people would have ever seen you on television was on Big Brother over in the UK.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the audition process or like how did you end up on that show?
Right, so a lot of shows nowadays, what the general public don't always know is, a lot of people get approached for a show. So last year's, not the Love Island Gone By, the 2019 one, only 4 of the contestants auditioned the normal way. The rest were people that was found through Instagram and approached themselves or through agents and whatever, or they might have had a famous dad or like Tyson Fury's brother was on it.
Yeah.
My Big Brother, a lot of reality television is like that now. The only reason why they open up applications is for legal reasons. They have to, for regulation reasons, give everybody the same opportunity.
Okay.
But that's not really like everything in life. That's not really going on. They kind of know who they're having. And there might end up being a few people they find in the thousands of people that they probably don't even look through all the applications. My Big Brother was the same. So I auditioned normal, the old-fashioned way, as they say. And what happened was, I was smart enough, I went online and I Googled, it just came into my head one day, and I Googled, how do you audition for Big Brother? I knew there was a way of doing it, but I wanted to find like a quicker way. So I went online to find a producer's email address, personal email address, and I hunted and hunted till I found it. And I said, I'm not sending in an application through that link. There's 88,000 applicants on my series. As if they're going to go through all of them 1 minute clips, 88,000 minutes, and remember anyone. Do you know what I mean? They probably didn't go through them. So I found this man, and I'll never forget, he was called Dan. And it said Dan.Booker. And I said, that's a weird surname. And I found out afterwards it says Dat Booker because he's the booker for the show. Surname he has. But then, I emailed him off an email of all emails. Oh my God, he must have looked at it and thought, you either belong in the Big Brother house or you're a barefaced liar or you need a psych ward.
Well, what did you say on it?
I was just saying that I could suck dick better than porn stars, that I always have arguments. I was saying that I've been with girls, I've been with boys, I'm a traveller. But I'm so different than the stereotype of being a traveller. I was telling the truth, but I kind of exaggerated there. So I knew what I was doing. I knew that if I was a producer, what would I like to see? You have to, if you're writing out a CV, never tell the truth. Fucking lie. Do it. No one's asked anyways. Sometimes the fact that you've done that, showing that initiative, you'll probably get the job because you know that you're going to do anything to get the job. So, sorry, but it's the truth. You get nowhere for being straight. I mean, just look at me. That's why I'm not straight. Hey. So.
And what about the whole experience? I mean, like,
it was amazing.
Did you always want to be famous?
No, but it wasn't, because it wasn't just about like being famous or something. Sorry, I just seen dust on the thing and I wanted to wipe it off. But
thanks.
I just wanted to have a good experience. I came out a few months before it, right? And I said to myself for that year, I'm going to do loads of things I want to do. Growing up, I always loved pop culture. I loved reality shows. Like, some buyers of football, I are obsessed with it. I love shows like that. I always read all the magazines. I read a million autobiographies. I just love that industry. Even though I know a load of it is shite that they're saying. I think it's because, it's not that I'm nosy. I'm interested in other people. So I love to figure out stuff about people.
Okay.
So me going on Big Brother was like me meeting a fan almost. It was like, I'm a fan of the show and I'm going into something that I've always been a fan of, and I'm getting to see it on the other side. It wasn't because I thought I'd come off and never do any other telly. Like, Big Brother was in series 17 when I was on it. So it wasn't the show it used to be in terms of making anyone famous or anything. And it's not real fame anyway. It's real fame is bloody Victoria Beckham, not somebody off a reality show who's had sex on the telly. They're known for 5 minutes. It's only because I'm Irish I've ended up getting a bit of work in Ireland, because we don't really have reality shows. So that's worked in my favour, being Irish and being, like, there's not really many people in Ireland who even has been on shows, really, when you think about it. So it was the best experience of my entire life. It was so hard, so difficult, but so interesting and amazing. And you hate Big Brother, the producers, but you love them. You're like, you're so genius, you're so clever. Yeah. You work with the psychologists, the producers, and there is researchers that work together, and the interior designers are told how to design the house by the psychiatrist, because apparently, like, how the house is designed will eventually mess with your head if you're kept there for long enough.
Wow.
They're not asked what you say. They'll probably, they'll big you up until you really believe them. There's a lot of people that believe their own hype with them, and they're stupid enough to believe it. And that's how you end up getting people to say all this stuff in their VTs that gets them booed by the public. But the producers don't see you as a human. They see you as like a product, a puppet in the game. And you're willingly doing it. But for me, I understood that before I went in. So it's not something I'd ever complain about. I appreciate what it's about and what you're signing up for. Others that are so naive, you should just stay away from shows because they'll probably get trolled and hit.
Huey, you mentioned there coming out as gay. I mean, a lot of people can struggle to come out as gay. And you being a traveller, was that even tougher to come out?
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone can only talk from their own experiences, but I definitely do think in general, if you come from an ethnical background, it is more difficult, just life in general. Men to show their emotions is probably more suppressed than mainstream society, even though that we already know that that's the case in society, but it's even more suppressed, I feel like, for certain religious backgrounds or ethnical backgrounds or races in the world. It was very, very hard for me growing up. I never felt like I had anyone to relate to. When I used to look at the media and watch TV shows, and anytime I ever seen a traveller, I never felt like I related to that person. I never ever felt like, oh, you're similar to me, we get along, or I never felt represented at all. It didn't matter if there was other gay men, there was just no gay traveller men. There was nobody I could look at as a bit of an inspiration that would give me probably power, because a lot of travellers would kind of have the opinion that, well, like, they can do to like us, they're not travellers. But that's stereotyping yourself. Like, if a non-traveller person wants to stereotype a traveller like that, they'd be called racist. Yeah. But a lot of travellers typecast themselves, the ones in the media. And I think that they're doing that from a pressure as well, is because they don't want to appear to be different because they're worried about what everybody thinks, whereas I don't really care what anyone thinks. When they start paying my bills, they can have an opinion.
But like, Huey, it's fair to say that our impression of the traveller community would be that the men would be quite macho, quite manly. It's kind of so I mean, how was it received, you know, you at home, like telling the family and friends that when you were coming out?
I found it so hard. I just didn't know what to do. I genuinely didn't know what to do. And I think Big Brother was a godsend, because I never ended up needing really to have a conversation with many people. Kind of one person told another person, then they told another person, and then I went on to Big Brother, and then that was right afterwards, and everybody kind of just watched me in there being myself. And by the time I left, it was fine. I just came home and my parents just gave me a hug and we then just had a party because I was home and whatever to celebrate. And that was it. And we've never had a conversation about it to this day.
Really?
But I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have Big Brother. I don't know if I ever, I don't know where it'd even be. Like, if I'm very honest with you, it sounds dramatic, but I'd either have disappeared off the face of the earth or done something like that. And then I probably would have eventually, my parents and I would have come round to it because of that, like all of that shocked and see what it was doing to me. And that's sort of like the big hype of Big Brother helped them come around to it as well. Or if that didn't happen, I probably would have ended up really strung out on drugs or something to cover up how I was feeling. Or probably would have been dead. I might have killed myself, if I'm really honest, because it affected me that bad. I don't know what I would have done if I'd got to this age. I just wouldn't have understood living. I don't know why I'd be living, because I would have been so unhappy.
Jesus,
and I wouldn't feel like I could. I wouldn't feel like I could ever grow as a person or have a relationship or date. And I was just sick of ducking and diving. And like, I could never do anything because I constantly felt like somebody's going to catch me. Or I was scared even to be texting a boy in case I left my phone down and like my mum or somebody took it up. Yeah. It's not a way to really to be living, is it?
No.
No. No. Oh my God.
Jesus, man. And do you think that view that like travellers have about someone being gay, is that anything to do with like religion or anything? Because we look from the outside looking in, it seems like travellers are quite religious, and we know like the Catholic Church would be against gay marriage and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Would your family be religious?
Definitely, definitely religious. Like you look around and it's like a shrine, they've got me statues, and I say to my mum, why can't you just have one? Like, it's not that, it's not, because I am a religious person and I believe I'm very spiritual. I believe in karma and all that. I always bless myself when it comes to anything. I don't know if that's just an Irish thing as well.
Yeah.
But I'm like, my family is religious and stuff like that. But that might play a factor. It might a little bit. Things have moved forward a lot in my family and the travellers that I know. And even just society in general. Look how much bigger social media is. Even 5 years ago, Instagram wasn't as big as it is now.
Yeah.
The world has opened up. And I just feel like, yes, for travellers, like I can't talk for every traveller, but for me growing up, I always felt the pressure probably to be a particular way. And I felt more of a judgment from travellers than I ever did from non-travellers about like being a traveller. But I still often had abuse in school or people would say racist taunts and stuff. So a lot of people say homophobic stuff and then cover it up with, oh, I'm a Christian or whatever, when really it's just your view.
We'll have to ask you your opinion. You're a man who's quite savvy on social media and television. And if we were to ask you about the kind of the PR for the traveller community, the first thing that a lot of people think, or one of the first things that a lot of people think of, is the traveller call-out videos, which kind of go viral on the internet. You know, what's your take on this?
Oh my God, you're just so disgusting. It's just like anything else that we've been talking about. It's an individual situation. The problem is that society is still prejudiced towards travellers in a way that is sort of okay when it wouldn't be if it was a black person, a gay person, a Muslim person, even women. If you was to say something that people deemed in any way at all offensive towards a woman, you would be tore to shreds.
Yeah.
And no one in the world thinks that there's a place for homophobia, for racist abuse, anything. But people are very prejudiced towards travellers. People say knacker and pikey like it's gone out of fashion. They've even found new meanings for it now. People say those words now as a comparison, which is even more insulting. So any person that's a thief, or you're a pikey. So it's like, your travellers are just scum to them. And any person does anything wrong, I'm going to call you that as a way of insulting you. So, and nobody bats an eyelid to that. They genuinely don't. You go on Facebook, there's a million status. So somebody says, my house got robbed, fucking knackers. You might not even mean that as in the people who are travellers, but they're doing that comparison and using a derogatory word that if it was about gay people or black people, you'd be banned off Facebook.
Yeah.
You'd be banned. You'd probably be reported to the police.
But
so there's no point in saying anything else for a hate crime.
But do you ever look at the guys doing like the call out videos and do you ever be thinking to yourself like, oh my God,
will you stop?
Like,
I do. The thing is that my point of explaining what I explained a minute ago is that because then when people see these sorts of videos and they see travellers, like I was saying earlier, travellers in the media, like Tyson Fury, like Paddy Doherty, these people, even though they're fantastic men, But you have a very much like the way we were saying about people being homophobic and using their religion as an excuse. They always say stuff like, as a traveller man, this is what we do. And they're always typecasting and putting everybody into the same bucket themselves. So when you have high profile people doing that, and the public already think all travellers are the same for good, bad or indifferent, that then strengthens that opinion. And then when you look at these videos and you have people that already have a bad opinion of travellers because they're not open-minded enough to know that not everyone's the same, they have to kind of be explained these things. You literally look like a bunch of feral humans. And I look at some of these people and I think you're a complete and utter disgrace. But there is some people on it, I actually understand what you're saying. I get where they're coming from. But not everybody is as passionate about things as I am. So they wouldn't think, I won't put that up because it'll get travellers judged. They're not fussed.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the world are selfish, whereas I look at it and I think everyone is going to like typecast travellers because of that. And it's now come a comedy thing. People literally put them on for a laugh.
Yeah.
And that's even more, sad when you think about it. It's like you're literally a skeptic, like a spectacle or whatever the word is, to society.
One of the things we have to ask you about is, so you're on first dates, right? Let's pick things up again a bit here.
Yeah.
You were on first dates. How did you end up in first dates? How were you not snapped up, the fine looking man that you are? And how have you found dating in Ireland? Have you dated members of the traveling community and settled guys? Like, how's it been for you?
Yeah. I've never really dated in my whole life. So I...
What?
Right. I've never dated. I've never gone on dates in my life. I just haven't. So I've done first dates. There was one time I met up with a guy. It was not like as in an official date where you get dressed up and you go out and you meet at a certain place. I've only ever done that twice. Once for first dates and then with a different guy. And then on Big Brother, I met my ex-boyfriend. And so we didn't really date, but we had like a makeshift date in the garden. And Big Brother, there was no food in the house just there. So we got champagne flutes, filled them with water, and we had dry cornflakes out of bowls. And we got this really, you can see that on YouTube, actually YouTube it, you can watch it. And we got this really good looking guy in the house to be our butler, but he had his bum out. He was wearing like an apron and had his bum out, which was just amazing. I loved it. I was like, Big Brother doesn't need to give any food. I'll just have that. But, no, my point that I was saying is like, I've never really dated. So first dates, I split up with my ex and moved back to Ireland in July, August. My friend is a comedian. He's called Martin Beans Ward. He's really funny. He's a traveler guy.
Yeah.
He messaged me to say that his friend, is a producer for First Dates. Would you like to go on the show? They want a few people who's been on TV to get publicity and promote the next series. Okay. And it turned out absolutely right. So,
have you ever been on Tinder?
Yeah, I am, but I don't really rate all of that. Like I downloaded Grindr and had like 50-year-old men asking me for like bumhole pics. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, there was some foreign, like, Asian man, and he was saying to me, do you want to come down and I'll do this and I'll do that? And the next was like, I don't know you. You've never spoken to me. And I was like, you could be a murderer. And I immediately deleted Grindr. I had to get off it. And I'm not a prude. I'm actually not a prude at all. I mean, I had sex on TV. I'm not one bit of a prude. I'm not arsed what you are. You could be a porn star. And in fact, I'll only be intrigued. I want to ask you about it, because you don't meet a porn star every day, do you?
No, so, but Grindr's not for you.
No, I'd rather meet somebody in person. I'm a chatty man and I like all of that, so I'm on the phone! Stop fucking calling me. How annoying is a stupid house that I live in? How irritating. But
you were talking about Tinder.
I'd rather meet somebody in person. I can't believe we're just shouting across your podcast. But I'd rather meet somebody in person and have a chat with them, have a little bit of a flirt and probably give them a kiss at the end of the night and do everything else my mum says I shouldn't do. But I'm single and I'll do what I like.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was one of your famous TV appearances, Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah.
Honest to God, the tan. What was it? Did you just put on one layer too much or what the fuck?
Right, so I got a spray tan that wasn't great. They have their own spray tanners for the show and makeup people and all. But can I just quickly say as well, when they employed me for Dancing with the Stars, they employed me to be one of those novelty acts.
Yes,
that's what we spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about that. They knew what, like, they got a boy who'd had sex on television to go on their show.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
like when you know that, you kind of know what you're getting. I know it's a very different environment, but you know, I was 22 at the time as well. I was a bit nervous sometimes. I had Des Bishop and Catherine Lynch next to me.
Yeah.
And I love humor that is so inappropriate. I was never not going to say or do things that probably the old ladies in Connemara don't want to watch. But that's their problem.
Yeah.
But Ireland is too reserved with TV. I wish you'd done like an Irish Big Brother or something and just shut everybody up. But yeah. Anyways, my point is, right, with I always, why do I keep saying my point is, I never say that saying. with Dancing, you're getting me into it. That's a Tipperary thing.
You're wearing the tan.
The Dance with the Stars, right? So I got a fake tan. So I went into the studios on the Sunday, right? And we'd done the full dress rehearsal and I started sweating and I started kind of patching and everything. I put on more tan on top of it. And then there was like not even 2 minutes. There was like a 1 minute window between the dress rehearsal, which is the same. You do the show from start to finish like you would if you were live. Then going on live. So I had to run the back part of the stage and I looked at myself in the mirror because we're doing dress rehearsal and it was all patched. The tan was developing. It was quite dark. I couldn't see, but I knew it looked vile. And the same makeup artist that worked on that show worked on Device of Ireland because the same company made it. And do you remember Jamelia, who's obviously black, was a judge on that?
Yes.
She had a foundation that she used to use on Jamelia and I quickly picked it up on because that wasn't all tan, it was foundation.
Okay.
And that's not what anybody knows. And I put it all on my skin really quickly. Nobody even knew. There was no way of a producer even stopping me. I got blaming them. They didn't even know. I quickly went up the stairs to then do the introduction and all that I seen was this. You want to see the looks I was getting from the stage manager. The whole audience just kept staring at me. But what it actually is now is in the past 5-10 years, it's one of the most talked about moments probably in Irish television. It made international headlines. Piers Morgan was talking about it on Good Morning Britain.
Yeah.
It was discussed on a chat show in America as one of those trending things on the internet that night. It was in every paper between Britain and Ireland. And I never knew it was as dark because as the show continued on, the tan underneath was developing and developing and developing. Oh, and it was just a disaster. But I would never be so naive now, but I don't regret it. I find it really funny.
Yeah.
And it got to show loads of headlines. It's probably still the most talked about moment.
Yeah.
Like there's a meme on Facebook of that and it has 117,000 shares.
Jeez.
Wow. 117,000 shares. And RTE shared it. So I don't know why they were getting rid of me and giving me loads of shit behind the scenes. RTE was loving it.
We want to ask you about some more. Speaking of cosmetics, is this true that you got a bum job?
Yeah. So I've had it done twice.
What is it exactly?
Right. So you get all your fat taken out and it transferred into your bum, like with syringes or whatever afterwards, just to make it bigger. I just wanted to have a bigger arse. That was it.
Bit of cushion for the pushing.
Yes, loads of cushion for the pushing. Next man who gets me is a very lucky man. I can say that.
Is it expensive?
It's a few grand. It's a good few grand. But it was sore. I've had it done twice. Once in Spain, once in Turkey. But with like the same company to just move to Turkey, I suppose. It felt like moving. And
how long does it last?
Life. It's just fat. It's there till you work it off. I've no intention of doing that.
Oh my god! And Huey, before we finish up, what's the plan for the future? Just good times, good crack, and a big arse.
A good crack can be interpreted two ways: good fun and big arse. Right, so the plans for the future, definitely don't want to have a boyfriend. Stay away from that. I want to do an aesthetics course, which is about training how to do lip fillers and all, because you can just make so much money doing it.
Okay.
I want to do some more makeup courses. I want to finally do my driving test, because it's a bit embarrassing at this stage. I'm 26. I'm going to be going on another TV show soon, but I can't tell you what it is, but it's a major show. Filming abroad for MTV.
Brilliant.
And I go in April. And I can't wait. I go for 2 months in April to a sunny country. I can't wait. And hopefully there's loads of boys, loads of drink, and just loads of dick.
Yui,
I want to ask one question before you go. If you were back on first dates, which one of us would you prefer to see sitting across the table?
Blonde is my type, so blonde one is for me.
Yes! Yes, anyway. Yes. Huey, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You're some character, man. You've made us laugh, and that's the main thing. We need loads of laughter in this time. So
I'm going to be on another show soon. We already filmed for Virgin Media, talking about like being a traveller coming out as gay, called Eating with the Enemy, and it starts on March the 3rd, and all the episodes go on the player that night. Media, and I don't know what episode I'm in. I think I'm in episode 4. So that'll be a great watch.
Brilliant stuff. Huey, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you so much, guys. And I'm really thankful to come on and stuff. You brightened up me there.
You're a legend, boy. Thanks a mil.
Thanks, Huey.
His advice to young lads struggling with lockdown is to find 3 or 4 nice young ones to settle down with. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! I'm young for that.
Well, Noel.
Do you hear Aisling Farrell is pregnant?
No.
Born in the oven, bite.
Go away.
The fisherman's daughter is going to hatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she married the Pussycat Kennedy. You know the Pussycat Kennedy? Cheers, when she married him, I thought I'd have to do it myself.
Why?
I didn't think he had it in him.
Pussycat.
Yeah. And I met him and I said, when she due? And he said, 9 months after Halloween or it's not mine. He dressed up as Captain Birdseye and she couldn't resist. Hello. I don't like Halloween and these parties.
Okay.
I seen the Grim Reaper bottle a man one night.
Go away.
Yeah. And I thought, Jesus, like, I just thought, you know, he touched you on the shoulder and you die or something. I didn't know death actually had to murder you. Well, I got a shovel and I wore it off the back of his head.
Off the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, that's my mother. And Tupac. Gone too soon.
All right.
I was full of whiskey now. I rang the Undertaker, apologised and said, I'm after ruining your business now. There'll be no more deaths. You'll have to retrain, Frankie. I said, we have to tell the guards. Turns out it was a mechanic from Bansha in costume, but you know, it's like the song says, life is a roller coaster. John Lennon wrote that.
I don't think he did.
As before your time.
I think it was Ronan Keith.
As before your time. John Lennon, mate. He won the greats. He was the best one in the Rat Pack. He was a topper, by.
He wasn't in there. The was, Rat Pack. There was
Frank Sinatra, Meatloaf, Jerry Adams, all those guys. He was the best, though.
Jerry Adams in
the... Well, it's like the song says, the hips don't lie.
Shakira.
Do you know who wrote that? Bob Dylan. That's a fact.
Okay.
For your time. Now, news.
Yes, please.
A subject that makes even the harshest of men curl up like a hedgehog. Women's things. Oh no, John Boy, right? But.
Which was sort of.
You know that woman.
The vagina?
And then she has to, you know, every month and then.
Oh yes, yes. Okay, yes, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah,
well,
yes.
One day at a time, you know, you get. Okay.
Periods, no, periods.
Well, things. So, look. You're probably looking at me thinking, okay, this guy has it all.
No.
Physique, style, Mickey like a tuber gripper. But
like a tuber gripper.
Even I would be under pressure when it comes to discussing these things. Now, the first time my daughter Geraldine got her...
Things.
Her drops.
That's worse.
I was on my own. Well, my good lady wife, Carmel, was going to knock. And obviously, I'm barred.
From knock?
Yeah. What? Do you remember? We went with the biscuit. You know biscuits? There's a whole family of them. Some men to talk. And when it comes to a fight, they're not worth Dixie. So the boys call them the biscuits. They come in a pack, but they all fall apart.
That's good.
Not to be confused with Richard Tierney, who is now a hip-hop DJ under the alias Rich T. Different man altogether. Different
he's
man.
Not, he's not part of the pack.
No, no, different man. Different. He's in a different crew, actually. Different crew altogether. But it was Owl Biscuit. Tommy Biscuit was getting married. And we went to knock. We went to knock on his stag.
But, hey, a weird place to go.
But he asked for Bangkok. But I thought he said knock. Because I was thinking, like, Bangkok, Tom, why do I want to go to Denmark? Fucking eat. Anyway, he had 12, 14 large bottles on the bus. He thought he was in Bangkok.
Yeah.
We got off the bus and he's like, Jesus, no, I thought Bangkok would be warmer. And I was like, well, you know, Tom, that's the Middle East, you know. Now, he did ask a nun, was she a ladyboy? That went down like a fart in a funeral home. And say that, no. And then this, we were getting carried away, like, you know, and this one comes over, giving out to us. And he starts dancing with her. Oh, take it off, you know. He would throw kinds at her now, like she was a holy well or a stripper or something, you know.
Yeah.
And I had to say, look, very sorry, Reverend Mother, but he thinks he's in Denmark. Not to none as a stripper, but we were the only fellas at the end of mass shouting one more tune. So, you know, Dwayne Knock, Holy Mary appeared on the wall of the chapel.
Yes.
Well, that night, the two Costigans appeared on the roof of the post office anyway.
that's some apparition.
So, look, the crack is the crack. But as the song says, I'm a genie in a bottle. You've got to rub me the right way. Do you know who wrote that?
Christina Aguilera.
Van Morrison. So, but he hopped in the trot and anyway. Carmel went to knock without me.
Okay.
And the daughter got her drops. So I brought her down to the chemist, down to Phil the pill. You know, Phil, if you want the pill, you got to go talk to Phil.
Yeah.
So I said, look, Phil, the daughter is bleeding and I don't know if you need to give her some sort of a jab or something, but he said to me, no, what age is she? I said, 9, 15, I don't know. What am I? That guy from Cork who was good with numbers?
Eddie Hobbs.
Jimmy Barry Murphy. Yeah. Eddie Hobbs, yes, sorry. So one of the nurse had a chat with her and they give her the tadpoles. What do you call them?
Tampons.
Yeah, well, yes.
Tadpoles.
So I took her home and made her a cup of tea and I said, look, Geraldine, I'll feed the calves this evening.
Oh, that was very nice.
Yeah. You'll only spook them. So, the news is New Zealand are, in all the schools, they're going to offer students free period products. In every school, free. Because it happens to half the population.
Yep.
Should they have to pay for the way God made them? You know? Like, same with Paddy Fong, when he tried to get Smedics on the medical card. He's a pint man. A pint man is going to pint.
Just the way it is.
Pint man's going to pint. In the UK, in fact, they reckon it's about 130,000 girls miss school because they can't afford the tadpoles every year.
Oh my God.
And they don't want to go into school and be caught short. So, and they have no money to stay at home until time has passed. And I think that's fucking terrible.
That is terrible.
So, isn't that fucking terrible? So we need the government to give out tadpoles to any young one who wants them.
Tampons.
And stay in school.
Yeah.
That is the news.
Good man, Noel, bye.
Now, when I say stay in school, it's because most people do fucking nothing when they come out of school.
Okay.
Best days of your life. The only people who say school is the best day of your life are moochers and bums. Okay. And punks.
Don't hold back. Don't hold back.
Who done nothing since they left school except walking around town, drinking cans of Monster, saluting people. Now, best days of your life. They've obviously never won a county final.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a combination of that first gulp of a pint of stout, or falling in love with my wife.
Oh.
Or the time I shat in Dwyer's conservatory. All rolled into one. The night we won the county final, Mickey Scoop burnt down the library.
Why?
Well, you know, when you're out, you're out. He said all history before this event should be erased. He wanted to change the calendar system in town, making it the year 0 BC, before county.
Okay. Brilliant.
Now, the council didn't go for it.
Okay.
And they were sour enough over the library. I said, lads, look, don't get tarty. It's only a bit of an old gammon. You know what I mean? Only a bit of crack. We're all out, having a few drinks. We're burning things down. Library had to go. What are you going to do? My woman wasn't happy either.
Was she not?
No. And I said, look, if you'll excuse me, we've just won a county final. So, like Elvis used to sing, if you want to be my lover, you've got to get with my friends. Taking is too easy. That's the way it is.
So it is.
Long live the king.
And that was Elvis. That's it.
Long live the king. Good luck.
Thanks. See you there.
Hello. You have got to get rid of my friends.
Okay, she's going to turn into one of those crazy dog ladies soon. And she's okay with that. Maureen is here with her mystery topic. Right, Maura, lay it on us.
Okay, question for ye. Do you think it would be acceptable in Irish society to turn around and say, actually, no, I don't want to have children. I'd rather just, you know, have all my free time to myself. Like, how do you think your parents and friends would react? Because the science behind this, like, people think having children makes you happier, but numerous studies have shown over and over again that having children reduces happiness. So, if you want me to prove this,
yeah,
Google
go on.
Anderson, Russell and Shum 1983 or Campbell 1981. So like there was actually another one, study done in 2016. And it found that one of the dominant explanations for children increasing or decreasing your happiness is that they means that your parents are exposed to more stressors. So things like there's more, you know, demand on your time, more demand on your energy. You also experience sleep deprivation, your work-life balance, and also there's the financial burden. So I think there was one study suggested that like the cost of rearing a child from like birth to their 18 years of age is €250,000, €250,000. Yeah, you broke it down over 18
years. You in the fucking
law. I also think it's probably different attitudes towards men and women when they do say that they don't want children. So Amy Blackstone, she's written a book called Child Free by Choice, The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. So she interviewed 70 child-free men and women. So she said that from speaking to those people, she said men kind of get a sort of pat on the back and there's more joking about, aren't you lucky you dodged this bullet? Whereas for women, it's the, oh, you poor thing, I can't believe you're missing out on the most meaningful experience that a woman can have. You must be so sad and lonely. Now, I am guilty of once saying I wanted 6 children.
Yes.
My friends and my sister, I've recently become an auntie and I see how much work that goes into children. So like Jesus, like they are 24 hours a day. Like, you know, Ted is like 20 minutes in the morning, like give him his food, rub his head and he goes off for the day. Hopefully not down to the neighbours. But anyway.
Stone shits in your backyard.
But like my poor sister, like she's breastfeeding. Hopefully she won't mind me saying this, but like she was saying that she's actually jealous of dairy cows because they get milked out twice a day. Whereas like you're on the go the whole time if you're breastfeeding a child. Like it's just like, oh God, like I think if I was to turn around now and say, actually, like with lockdown, and like I was saying there, I was creating my little vision board, and like I, like four or five things I put on it were like traveling trips I want to do, like long, you know, maybe tour across America, go spend a bit of time in Bali. It's like you can't have that and the kids. You can't drop the grandchild off the grandparents and be like, right, I'm away to America for 4 weeks, so yeah, just feed him three times a day there and give him an L wash. Like, you know, they'd be like,
tell him you love him.
Yeah.
They love that.
So I'm kind of wondering, like, would it be acceptable for Irish? Do you think I get judged the shit out of as being selfish and narcissistic for not wanting to have children? And also, there is a climate change element to not having children. Mm. Some people are choosing not to have children because of the climate change. So where is this? It says the environmental toll of having even one child is enormous. They can release 58.6 tons of carbon each year. Well, no, they can't release that. Like, you know, child doesn't have a methane problem, but it's just, the, you know, the feeding them, buying them all their plastic toys and stuff like that. So what's your thoughts on it, lads? And would you ever consider not having children?
Every day.
And 8 times on a Saturday.
On population, yeah, there's oftentimes, you know those Avengers movies? And the bad guy is Thanos. And he wants to destroy half the population. Sometimes I'd be like, yeah, you know, he had a point. guy had a point. You know, the planet would be a much better place if half of us died. You know, me and you'd have to flick a coin.
We'd just kill Neil.
Oh, poor Neil. Jesus.
No, Neil and Moore, I'd be flicking a coin. So, yeah, socially, I think, like, older people, like your parents and the kids' grandparents and all that generation would be loving you to have a kid, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Carrying on.
I think
family name and all this stuff.
Yeah, that matters to old people. No, do you know what it is? In Ireland, when you get married, or even before you get married, like, but I've seen it when people get married, is like, there must be something wrong. They obviously can't have kids. You know what I mean? That's
what do you mean? They don't have kids?
That's the big thing. Yeah, if you get married and you don't have kids.
Or people will start thinking.
Yeah, all the neighbours are like, well, she obviously can't have kids. Otherwise, they'd have them. Or else it's like, no, do you know what? Maybe they like going out for meals and having a fucking life. like I know couples who are, you know, not going to have kids.
Yeah.
And we've got friends who don't have kids and have just said, well, we just didn't want them. And lately, I've been like, they've got a fair point.
It's grown on you.
Yeah. That's just terrible saying this. I will end up having kids. I'd say so. Hopefully if I can. But like, I think in Ireland particularly, there's a big like...
I think there's a pressure.
There's an onus on you to have kids here in Ireland. Yeah, it's like, you know, in Ireland, sure, that's us. We have big families and we've loads of kids. And then
everyone,
and but the thing is, like, when I sit down and think about, like last weekend, me and Johnny had a couple of cans and we're sitting on the couch. And I think I turned to you and was like, imagine, if we had kids now, we couldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, fuck, yeah. And now all during the week, I've been like, you've definitely been reading my mind more. I'm like, fucking, you know what I mean? Like, imagine being hungover. And it's bad enough that I can't get over hangover. And then I'm going to have some kid been like, daddy, daddy. I'm like, oh, lad, honestly, I know you're covered in shit. And that's really bad for you. But you got yourself in this mess, pal, not me. Have you seen the Mundiago bombs I had last night? Have you? No, you haven't. You're like, oh, I've got shit up me back.
Yeah, if you had half that, you'd be fucked.
Yeah, yeah. You're after having 2 Liga, you shit yourself. I'm after drinking fucking 2 liters of Jaeger last night. I'd love to see the state you're in. Oh, look, talk to your mother or something.
We
right?
need to get rich enough to just hire au pairs.
Yes.
Full time.
Now people
look at you funny if you say you've got an au pair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in Ireland. Yeah,
they do. But if you do the maths on it, yeah, it's not that expensive. Like, I had a friend who was in Dublin and they ended up having like 4 kids, and then they both had good jobs and they were like, the price of childcare is huge. Mm. Then they weighed it up and were like, we should actually just get an au pair, and it worked out nearly the same. And me being from the country, I was like, you have an au pair, you flash fucker. Huh? Yeah, you know?
Yeah. No one down the country is that. You just have grandparents.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, kids make you happy, and then, Mara, you've just said it's proven to reduce happiness. It does put a bit of stress on it, like. You know, puts a bit of stress on everyone having a kid, no doubt about that. But then the thing that always gets me is people are like, wait till they're born. You just change. I actually had this conversation with my mother yesterday. She was like, look, you will have kids now in a few years. And I was like, yeah, but like, just some stress in kids. And
I wouldn't be great with stress.
Yeah, and then she was like, yeah, but wait till you see him now. She was like, it's a different kind of bond. And I'm like, will I wake up someday? And it's just like, you know, so it's like I was saying a few weeks ago, I think we were talking about men just settling down in general.
Yeah.
And it was like, someday a switch goes off and you're like, right, I'm ready to settle down. Does the switch go off and it's like, right, I'm ready to just give up everything and have kids. So I'm just waiting maybe for that day to arrive.
I'm going to dedicate my life to this little pink ball.
Yeah.
Who poos on itself.
Yeah. But I know, but it's seriously, people do say it's a whole different bond and you feel totally different about it. Once you see your kids and, like, you know, you have it, it's a special moment, and that's probably something we will experience. We do want kids. I do want kids. I want to be able to be like, I just want them like when they're like up to minor. you know, they're like, okay, I'm 18 now, daddy, you can love me. I'm like, no bother, lad. What do you think about doing in college? You know, that kind of stuff.
You want to adopt a talented 15-year-old, like?
Yeah, yeah. I know, look, I am looking forward to having kids and raising kids. I'm sure it'll change me as a person or whatever. But well, listen. I can massively see the benefits to not having kids.
Smax is here more thinking, child or runners?
I'm also here thinking, like, I'm sure Annie's going to listen to this.
There's also the thing of, like, kids will look after you when you're old.
Yeah.
I don't know. You put a few pounds in the bank, you'll be all right, will you?
Yeah.
Or no one will love you, whatever.
So will nurses.
I pay
the onus is on the state to look after you.
I'm going
to
pay you extra to pretend you love me. Tell me I'm great.
Yeah, I think that is the thing. You have a fear of, like, being alone later in life, yeah.
But do you ever see some people and you just knew them from about, like, leaving school, or like, she's an absolute mammy, that one.
She just
can't wait to have kids and start wearing a fleece around the place.
I think I told the one before, I was on a stag and I was going home. One of the lads like, what are you doing? I was like, getting a big pizza now, lad. And I'm just lying on the couch, like, I was like, you know, and he was like, oh man, like, as soon as I go home, I'll have a 3-year-old jumping on my head. A
koala.
Yeah, and I remember just being like, oh yeah, fuck that. So, but I'm sure I'll get to the stage where I'll want a 3-year-old to jump on my head. I'm just waiting for that switch to go off.
Yeah, I suppose just thinking about it there, I think I would be okay with having children, but it's just the price of childcare, though, that's like, in Ireland, it's an absolute scandal. Like, the creche in RTE, even though, I don't know, they say it's subsidised, it's still over 900 quid a month, and it's like, that's me bloody mortgage, like, so.
That is mortgage, yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Yeah, it is expensive. I'd say, you see, the other reason me and Johnny are so kind of dodgy about having kids is
hesitant.
Like, we have flexible hours. So if we have kids, like it's going to be like Neil in here on the PC and me and Johnny just been like, Neil, honestly, just take the two kids outside, take them for a walk or something. Yeah.
Neil's tapping out. I'm done.
Because like both our women have like regular jobs.
Yeah.
So like we'd be at home 100% going around with, like, you know, those slings on us. Imagine, in fairness though, we'd have some crack, like if two was, like, we have to plan it that we both have kids at the same time.
Exact same time.
Same age.
Yeah.
Yeah. we conceived them together and all.
Are we doing the job tonight? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right. Oh, pure Texan, well, yeah.
Shake and bake. No, that'd be classic if we had kids the same age. And then, like, we just raised them to do what we did.
100%.
Make a fucking fortune. Oh, my God. Off them.
You're so naive. I have two friends like that, and both their partners were due at the same time, and they're like saying, like, oh, I'll be class now because we can go off in the car together and put the two kids into the back seats. And it doesn't work out like that for whatever reason.
No. So. It'll work for us, Maura.
Maura, by the time our kids are 3, they'll be tap dancing.
Yeah. The kids are 10, and it's like the two Johnny Juniors podcast. It's an educational kids program.
They're going to school in a suit, being like, well, hello and welcome to fourth class. They're going to learn to play the banjo.
Yeah.
And going to read music, all that stuff I can't do.
My son's first name is going to be Smax. And if I have a girl, she's definitely going to be like a singer. Hopefully. Better voice. Hopefully she'll get your voice, lad.
We're not stirring the porridge where we put it in, lad. Come on now. Mix it all up.
Do you know what, though? It's mad, right? I'm 30 in a few weeks. And, like, obviously these things are, like, you know,
on the radar.
It's on the radar, like, and it's so scary. Like Owen, who works for us, I'm sure he won't mind us saying, he's had a child in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Him and his partner. And like, I was just thinking like, God, it must be scary. But imagine like taking the child home. It's like, shit, they're my responsibility.
Don't drop it.
Like, nothing's my responsibility at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, like, even like, you know, it's like, did you pay the ESP bill? Like, fuck, I told you, don't give me this amount of responsibility. I'm not able for it. So like, imagine like, you've got a dependent then. Changes everything.
Have you ever been asked?
That's why the coronavirus needs to fuck off so I can get my last couple of fucking years of living in. And then it's just going to be like, oh, I'm boring
now. I give up now.
I'll be on here talking about like rice cakes and fucking hummus. All bland items like that.
Not what kids eat.
What? No? Sunshine orange. Malupa.
Malupa.
Yeah.
Do you ever be asked by somebody, do you have any kids? And be like, no.
Oh my God. I got asked. What was I saying? I was filling out forms.
You were asked during the week. Someone asked you.
Yeah, asked during the week. And the fellow was like, do you have any kids? I was like, no, jeez, I don't. Like, and then I'm like, oh, well, it's probably a legitimate question to ask an almost 30-year-old. Do you have kids? I was almost insulted. I'm like, I'm a fucking young lad. What are you on about?
Yeah, talking.
Why would I have kids? Could have 10 kids by now.
Not that I know of. It's like, oh, sorry. Actually, I don't know. Yeah.
Not that I know of. I bet you just like, wow, this guy's a dick.
I'd hope to be a cool parent.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to be like the best dressed parent. And I'm definitely going to have my kids wearing like matching clothes to me.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Same haircut, a whole lot. Kid's going to have a fade out the womb. He's probably going to have blonde highlights.
Look, I just want to be the cool parent.
Yeah.
I saw a lad recently from the GA club.
Mm.
And I saw his two kids and I know them from coaching. I was like, oh, well, boys, how are you? And then he turned up and all three of them were wearing the exact same.
That is the fucking
gear.
Dream.
They all had the track suits with the ankles out and like a navy puffy jacket.
Sure wasn't me.
Wasn't you. And I knew it. I was like, your dad's cool. Before he comes, I bet he's wearing the same thing.
Yeah, that's the goal, isn't it? But we definitely have to have kids at the same time. Or, do you know what though? Seriously, work-wise, it just wouldn't work.
Otherwise. Wouldn't work.
If we kids at different ages. Because like, if I was having sleepless nights, feeding kids and stuff, and then like, I was coming into you and you were like, oh, fucking sick of this. And then like, I'm finally finished with that. And then you're, it's not working. So we just do it together and just hire someone to look after both kids.
That's why I got the puppy. I thought it was good training.
Yeah.
For a baby.
Mm. At least kids aren't going to eat
shit,
fucking
though.
Yeah, the puppy's eating grass and he's still pissing all over the place.
I looked out this morning and he had dug a hole about a foot deep and his head was inside and I was like, what are you hoping to find in the grass?
There was a massive turd, lad, in your driveway the other day, out in your yard, like.
Was there?
Humongous, like.
Oh, he's eating some stuff, lad.
Yeah, he's anyway, away from that. Maura, to answer your question, what was your question again?
Well, no, I think...
it was about kids.
Yeah, a good friend of ours, he's listening, and he's in a long-term serious relationship and just said it casually in passing one day. He's like, no, I'm not having kids. Mm. And we were like, what, really? And he's like, yeah, 100%. I went to the doctor to get the snip done and all, and the doctor was like, man, you're too young. I'm not doing it for you.
Yeah.
And he just has it in his head. He's like, fuck that. Don't need him. Going to have a great life.
Like,
you know,
if you don't have kids, I'd be able to like live in Lanzarote for half the year and just like have the crack.
But it's like you said, like, but not having kids, like, look at the money it would save you. You could totally reorganize your life.
Yeah, but I think the problem with not having them is obviously time runs out eventually.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be like, no, I'm in my 30s, I don't want kids, and then you get to like 45 or 50 and you're like, shit, now I can have kids.
Maybe I should have. Yeah, well, people do. People have them later now.
Yeah.
People are having them way later now, like.
It's amazing. Listen, my blood is starting to run cold, man. I'm getting a bit scared now. Let's get back to just being like young men.
But family sizes too are shrinking.
Yeah.
Like, my dad is 1 of 9. My mom is 1 of 5.
Yeah.
Like, that's very rare now.
I can categorically go on record to say probably 2.
Max.
Twins, ideally.
Get them out at the same time.
In and out. Job done. Yeah.
See, it depends on how much crack you're having. Like, if you're getting on well with kids, or some kids are difficult and some kids are easier.
Like, I know we're making a laugh and cracking a few jokes, but like, I'm petrified that like I'd have a kid and then be looking at it going like, fucking hell, you've taken everything from me. I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And honestly, now, maybe this obviously probably doesn't happen. I haven't, but like, there'd be a bit of me being like, thanks for taking my youth. You little fucker. And now you expect me to bat you and feed you and burp you.
I should be in the pub.
I have nothing.
Dancing on the tables yeah. to the Macarena.
Yeah. So that's what I'm worried about, Maura. Great topic. Really enjoyed it. We should probably revisit this at some point, maybe in the future.
Yes.
When we have kids in 12 years' time. Okay. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. If you want to get in touch, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie is the email address. You can get us on Instagram @thetwojohnnies and let us know any topics you want to hear, guests you'd like to see on, the whole lot. Get in touch with us. Now we're going to round off the podcast as usual with our yurts and dirts of the week. John Burner, do you want to kick us off?
My yurt of the week is, well, you know the band Daft Punk have retired.
Yes.
What?
Are they really, like, that could have been anyone.
Look, if gigs were still going, Daft Punk could retire, send out two young lads in the helmets and just press play on the backing tracks.
There you go.
They could have got 10. They're only retiring because there's no gigs.
Yeah, they've missed the beat, man.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
100%. Daft Punk could tour, press play, and like two lads in fast courses.
Jumping around in motorcycle helmets.
Well, they don't even jump around. It's not as if Daft Punk are like, all right, put your hands in the air. You know what I mean?
Don't say nothing, do they?
Don't say nothing, do they? No. But, so they haven't been touring in ages. And this guy started a Twitter page and he named it his Daft Punk Touring.
Okay.
And every day since 2018, he's tweeted first thing in the morning, no. 365 days a year for 3 years, is Daft Punk touring? No. Every day. That's all he does. That's all he posts. Every single one of his posts, hundreds of these posts. And on the day that Daft Punk retired, he finally went viral. And his tweet got like hundreds of thousands of likes. Wow. And before that, nobody had interacted with any of them.
Oh my God. Do you know what?
I've often like, who's doing that?
Do you know what I've often seen in our message requests on Instagram? It's like, I'm going to contact you every day until you send me a video.
Yeah.
And it's like, so then it's like day one of contacting, day two. No one ever gets past like 10 or 11 days. And do you know what? If someone gets past like 100 days
don't,
or something.
Don't bring him on us.
Oh, okay. Forget I said that. But I do see that a bit. It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
He's no one, like that guy is relentless. No one's reached that peak.
Did he like write a piece of software to tweet that for him? Possibly. Or something? Probably, yeah. Okay, anyway, Johnny, have you got a yurt or dirt first?
Yeah, I do. I have a yurt, right?
Yes.
Eminem.
The rapper.
Yeah. Where's the name come from? You don't know.
Like Eminems?
That's what I would have thought. I don't know, but it's spelt E-M-I-N-E-M.
It's a weird way of spelling it.
Yeah. His real name, Marshall Mathers. M&M. Eminem. I heard this on, it was a question on The Chase. I was watching The Chase during the week. Of course, it's lockdown. I watched The Chase, all those fucking afternoon shows. No, I do like The Chase in particular. And the question was, which rapper uses his initials as his stage name? And I was like, fucking hell, who the fuck is that like? And then your mom was like, I don't know. And he was like, Eminem. I was like, oh my God. MM, Marshall Mathers, M&M.
So instead of writing M plus, and sign
yeah,
M. He's spelt it
E-M-I-N-E-M.
And it's pronounced
M&M.
M&M.
Yep.
Weird.
Lads. From the man who's brought you the Missy Elliott clip. No! Come on, I followed it up with an absolute belter. That's going to blow people's minds.
Got one for you.
I was just numb when I heard it.
LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool James.
Very cool.
That is pretty cool.
It's a bit cheesy.
Yeah, but like he pulls it off.
LL Cool J?
LL Cool J.
Ladies probably do love him.
Oh, yeah. See, he's done all right, yeah.
Okay.
M&M.
On
M&M. There you go.
On my word of the week last week, which is Amonahar. I think I'm pronouncing it right, which is the Irish.
Amonahar.
The Irish.
Amonahar. I've got me dot your share down there. Amonahar. Johnny. How are Amonahar.
You? Johnny.
Johnny, the word this week is Amonahar.
I think that's the way. That's the Irish word for the day after tomorrow.
Okay.
And I was like, isn't it mad that there's no word for the day after tomorrow in English? Mm. Well, Simon says there is.
Okay.
It's called overmorrow. Typed it into Apple Pages here, typed into my phone and it came up as misspelling, not a word. Open a dictionary and there it is.
Wow.
Overmorrow is so, the English word for the day after tomorrow, even though Word and Pages and Docs all say it's not. Dictionary has it.
Wow.
And Angus said that that is 100% only a Kerry word, a Monaghan. That in Connacht, they say Aru Amarok. They don't use a Monaghan.
A Monaghan.
And this week, I've been looking for mad Irish words.
You're back
words.
On to Dahi.
And I did check in again with Dahi. And I wanted to confirm something that I had suspected for a long time. That there is no word in common Irish speak for girlfriend or boyfriend. And if you're in school, like in third year or something, you're saying like, you know...
Carabuchal.
Yeah, but that's school English, Irish. Like, that's what nobody says that. And then I asked some Irish speakers, including Di, and he said, yeah, that if you were to ask a girl, does she have a boyfriend? You would say, "I'm will ain buchal a gut."
Have you a boy?
Yeah, which is weird because we were out one night with a friend of ours and he met a very famous gay Irish man and said, "Is that your buchal?" Yeah. And we thought that was a bit mad.
Yeah.
But like...
So he was obviously bang on?
He's bang on.
Yeah. Has Johnny O'Shea officially got like a part on our show here?
Do you want me to play it?
Without even knowing.
He sent me a video and all here. I'll just give you...
If you're sending private messages belong to him, I don't know.
I know, it's pretty funny.
Well, Johnny...
A monaghan.
Yeah, that's what you'd say. On the vuil buachalagut or on the vuil cailinagut. Do you have a boy or do you have a girl? But that's what you mean. Do you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Or you'd say on the vuil stallagut. Have you got a stallion? A stall. But unfortunately, when you were referring to a stall, it was a stall ossel. A stallion donkey, not a stall.
Yes. I'm fucking starting a petition for Dahi O'Shea to start his own podcast. He can come under our umbrella, lad.
Yeah. So that's my thought this week, that you could say to somebody, have you an old buchal? Have you a Colleen?
Or Monaghan.
I enjoy that, Johnny. That is my favourite word so far, because up to now, I'm pretty sure you're just fucking making them up.
What have you got?
Dirt of the week. Kanye West, new Yeezys, that.
New runners?
Adidas Yeezys.
Right.
On sale now.
Yeah.
1,725. Okay. Fair pricey for a pair of runners, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen them though?
They look like Crocs.
They are fucking Crocs, lad, in every language.
Yeah,
they're Crocs. They're like, they are Crocs.
They're one piece of plastic, like.
Yeah. And like, do you know what they look like? They look kind of like sandals, but Crocs.
Yeah.
They've got like little like lines over them and stuff. I could not believe it. It popped up. I downloaded the Adidas app. To try and get like Predators a while ago. I've got sorted since. But I got a notification. It was like, Yeezys are available. I was like, I'm going to have a look at these for the crack. You know, people would be collecting runners, paying loads of money. Not me. But
how much?
It's 1,725 euro.
Wow.
And they're Crocs. I don't care if Kanye West licked them or pissed on them.
Where is he making them? He's probably got a huge markup.
Do not know. But they're Crocs. And I just think like Crocs are grand for wearing around the house or going out to the bin.
1,700 Croc is shit.
Yeah, you can get like cast off Crocs there for like a fiver and pennies. So that is my dirt of the week. Javan, else are you happy enough?
Yeah,
lads, thanks a million. That's another week. Another week down.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Another week back to normality. Closer back.
Hope everybody's keeping the head.
Yeah. So that's it. We'll see you on. Yeah, check us out on Tommy Turner Show if you haven't seen it. If it's good, we don't know. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
Go on, we'll see you next week. Good luck.
Good luck.